Okay, Bokutov, today's daf is daf Dalet and Chulin, again for a four shlem falti, Yisroel ben Chai Rochel. We left off yesterday about halfway down on Dalet Amar Aleph. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Ich zuki bu, the ichzik below ichzik, right even with the beginning of the line that begins the last postless of Ikabinayu, Gemara says the ichzik below ichzik, but alok siva tanahi, something that the kutim had experience with, that it was a chazaka that they did it, even though it's not written in the Torah. Can you rely on that? In other words, what was our discussion? That a kuti, assuming that he's not a gerer arayus, like it was one sheet like Ravashi, well, that it was gerer arayus, they were forced, they weren't really good converts. But if you say that they were properly converted, except they didn't accept, let's say, all the halachas of the Torah Shebaal Peh, what about things that they accepted to do? For instance, well, the only things are written in the Torah. Like what? Like honor your parents, put on tzitzis. Okay, what about things that Shechita is not, all the laws of Shechita are written in the Torah, that Shia, Drisa, Chalada, Agrama, Gikr, those things are no good and not written in the Torah. The answer is things that they accepted upon themselves, we rely on them. So this question of something that they accepted upon themselves, the Chazaka, that they did it, do we rely on that even though it doesn't say it in the Torah? That's actually a Machlokas Tanoi, I'm going to say Tanoi, the Tanya, Matzah Skuti Uteris. The Matzah that a Kuti prepares for Pesach is allowed, you're allowed to eat it. The Adam Yotze Dev Chasov Pesach. Two things. It's mutter, and it could be Yotze, your Chov on Pesach. The Gemara is going to say, what's the difference between that? If it's mutter to eat it, obviously it can be Yotze, your Chov. What's the difference? That's the Tanakam. Rav Lazar Oser, Lefisha, and Bikim, and Dukdik, Mitzvah, Skisrael. They're not careful. I know they keep matzah, but they don't know all the details, the laws. They're like, you know, Jews who don't know all the details, the laws of the of how to make the matzah, when it's chametz, and therefore you can't eat their matzah. Any mitzvah that the kutim took upon themselves, and it's known that they keep that, harbei medaktin yosher Yisrael. They're more daktik in the mitzvah than a Jew. Now we'll see what's in Tanakam and Shem Gliel. They both say you can rely on their matzah. Omer Mal, let's analyze it. Matzah is kutim meteres v'ad mitzvah b'chavos Pesach. What does it mean? You're allowed to eat their matzah, and you're yotzei your chov of Pesach. Mshita. Obviously, if you can eat it, you're yotzei your chov. Ma'ar same melo b'kiya b'shimur. I might think, sure, it's mutter to eat it. There's a difference between matzah shmura. Not today, we know there's matzah and there's matzah shmura. So I might think they're capable of making it not chametz steak, but it could be yotzei the first night of Pesach, where you're supposed to be matzah shmura that's washed, that's watched, that's kept under surveillance from the time of harvest. I might think that they don't know. Ma'ar same melo b'kiya b'shimur. So you could eat it, but you're not yotzei Pesach kamash on the boat. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Lefisha Mekim, Oser, he says you can't eat it. Lefisha Mekim, B'tukim Mitzvahs. They're not careful in shimur. Shimur here does not mean shimur leading matzah shmura, like we just mentioned, but it means in guarding it so that it shouldn't become chametz. In other words, when does it go from being non-chametz to chametz? There's a certain stage when it starts to crack, when it starts to turn dark. At that point, they're not bucky in that. So Reb Lezer says you can't eat their matzah at all. Okay, Reb Lezer is the most machmir. Shimur, the third sheet says, any mitzvah that they grabbed a hold of, that they observed, isn't that the same as Tanakam as we said? Tanakam is also, you could yotze their atzah. You could use their matzah on Pesach, even for the first night of Pesach, when there's a mitzvah to eat matzah shmura. And so does Shem Shmuel, which also says anything that they do very, very carefully. So you can benay the chesim of a little zikabos. So the Gemara in Havmanis is like this. Let's say it's written in the Torah, but you don't know that they keep that mitzvah. Tanakama says they keep all the Torah shebiksav. Anything that's written in the Torah, they keep. Whether we know if they have a chazak or not, we don't care. You can rely on them, anything written in the Torah. Well, no, it depends. If they had a chazak, fine. If not, not. Otherwise, in other words, it's, he seems to be more limiting. Tanakama says anything that's written in the Torah, they keep. Shmuel says, no, only if we see that they actually observed it. See, Yachi, why does Rishon say the words kol mitzvah shechzikah ba'akutim imirsik miboyle? The idea of Shmuel of kol mitzvah shechzikah sounds like he's adding more than the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says that he just written, they say, and Rav Shmuel says, no, even more than that. Anything that they keep carefully. According to what you're saying it there now, he's more limiting, because the Tanakhama says any mitzvah that's written in the Torah, they keep. Shmuel is saying, well, if they only if you see that they actually observe it. So if she shouldn't say kol mitzvah, she should say, it should say imich zika b'boyle. Elikim b'nai, this is the machlok between Tanna Kamma and Shimon Meliel. The loksiv, if it's not written in the Torah, b'ich zika b'boyle, and still they observe it. Tanna Kamma savar, for example, like she, Tanna Kamma savar, kiv loksiv, since it's not written in the favorish in the Torah, afagav b'ich zika b'boyle na'ami lo. Even though they observe it, but if it's not written in the Torah, we can't rely on them. So if they have a chazaka that they do it, they do it, and they're more careful. So Shimon Meliel is the most marvel, he's the most makel, so to speak, when it comes to the kutim, and therefore, that's what the Gemara meant when we started today's daf. When we said that echzuki velo echzuki is a machlokas tanam, that's the machlokas we're talking about, not the three-way machlokas. Because according to Blazer, certainly you can't use their stuff, even if it's written in the Torah and they keep it, you don't observe it. We're talking about this. What are we talking about echzuki zichim? If they keep the mitzvah for themselves, can we rely on that? So, for example, if a kuti makes matzah for himself, can we rely on that? That's the question. So, you're right. Indeed, when it comes to matzah on Pesach, both the Tanna Kamma and Shimon Meliel both agree you can use their matzah. Why? Because that's written in the Torah, and they observe it. But when we talk about something, let's say, that's not written in the favorish in the Torah, like maybe the halachas of Shechita, which are not exactly written in the Torah, all the details, and they observe it. Shimon Meliel says, if they keep it, they keep it more, they're more careful than we are. Whereas the Tanna Kamma says, no, only something that's written in the Torah, right? But even if it's not written in the Torah, even if there's they keep it, we can't rely on them for our purposes. That's what we're talking about over here. Can you rely on them for our purposes? Rashi, back up above halfway in the page, where we started out, mitzvah shenik suba b'feish b'tarot, a mitzvah doesn't say b'feish in the Torah, but we saw that they keep it. If we say, since they keep it for themselves, we can rely on the tulis mochalayu, for themselves. Even though they keep it for themselves, it's not a good chazak for us. Klomer, we can't rely on them. That is machlokes tanoi pligibah. That's machlokes. Shimon Meliel says if there's a chazaka that they keep a particular mitzvah for themselves, they know they keep it for themselves, even though it doesn't say it in the Torah. You can rely on them. Rest assured, you can be somech on that. You can eat their shechita, etc., etc. Whereas the Tanna Kamma says, no, only something that's written in the Torah can we rely on. Even if they keep it for themselves, we can't rely on that.
What exactly does Rav Shimon ben Gamliel
include?
No meat. He doesn't include something that he keeps more than the Jews.
Yes, that's what he means.
And what does that mean?
He means that they're very careful in it. They're very careful in it.
Jews aren't careful.
Yeah. Okay, so we don't...
I mean, he's making a point. I understand the point.
No, I think you're saying... I think what he's saying is that we don't really understand that today because we're not involved with Putin. You know, we either Jews or not Jews. We don't really have them. But it could be certain things that they kept very stringently. Today, we assume that anybody who just keeps the Torah Shebiksav, for example, with the Samaritans, or at one point the conservative Jews, that they only kept the Torah Shebiksav, so you can't rely on them for anything, because Befoel, they don't keep this, they don't keep that too. But the Kutim were of such a nature that they kept certain things, and they were more stringent in that than even we were. No, that's also true. But he's talking about, but Irv is asked about the Lashon Kol mitzvah d'shech zikah b'kutim harbe medaktik in Yosem Yisrael. Maybe they only kept a few mitzvahs and they kept those very carefully. We've got a lot of them. We've got 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. We've got a lot more Lach L'moshe Misinais and the Raisas that aren't written in the Torah. We always give the example of a Tzar Bal Chaim, you know, that's not even one of the 613, but it's a Raisa. And then we have millions or, you know, many hundreds of thousands of Halachas Drabanan. They keep a few, maybe they keep them very carefully. It's hard to relate it to today because we don't see that kind. We don't see that kind of activity today.
Moshe could have a point, meaning that they're so limited in even
the
requirement by us. You have Torah Shavuot, you have
right.
So they see one line,
yeah,
and that's it.
And they keep
moving from that line.
And they keep it, but they keep it very carefully.
Right, but we expand on the one line because still doesn't. I mean, the
Lashon is Harbe Medaktik in Yosem Yisrael. Right. That Lashon is strange. That Lashon. So we don't have it today. Maybe, you know, maybe we don't have. We can't relate to it because we don't have an example of that today.
So you assume who can keep. We are so shown.
Right, we're so. Who could be better? Who could be better than us?
What are they doing?
Who could be better than us? Right. Well, Matzah is not a good example, but
pick any mitzvah, and
You find by shkita. You find by shkita, l'mashal. You find by shkita that certain things they keep. Certain people keep more things than others. Like the Sfardim, certain Sfardim keep.
That's
okay,
based
I understand. Okay, so that's what
right.
their concept is.
That's
yeah.
what he's saying.
Yeah.
They're so limited.
Yeah, right.
That
maybe.
There's no variation.
Right, right. Maybe,
we
maybe.
We could be doing something.
Right.
That when we get up to Shemayim, there
right.
was a machlokus.
Right.
And maybe
but
that
they,
was
but
the
they,
wrong
but
way.
They throw it out. They
but
throw
they
it
don't
out.
Do that.
No,
there.
Right. Maybe. Maybe that's what it means. Yeah. Nachon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nachon. 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 Yeah. Yeah. But there, it's more limited to saying. There, it's more limited. In other words, there's really limited. Is that what we mean? I don't think that's what he means, because we're saying a mitzvah that they accept upon themselves. They're more medactic than us. Well, that's not an example of where they're more medactic. There, we're simply saying is they interpret the pasuk literally. You can't put a rock in front of a blind guy. If you put a rock in front of a guy who could see, that's okay, because he just didn't see it. You know, you ever say, you guy's walking along, he's not looking, so you throw a rock in front of him. They're not over, he's not blind. The guy's got to be blind, and it's got to be a rock. You know, that's what they're saying. I don't think that's the same example. That's an example of people who only keep Torah Shemot Seah literally. They also mean a hand for a hand. That means they cut up a hand, right? Yad, yad, regal, regal. That's how they interpret it, maybe, without the Torah Shebal Peh. But I think here we're talking about real mitzvahs. Real mitzvahs that we keep, they keep. If they keep it, they keep it more carefully. Maybe because they only have a few. Or maybe we just don't see an example today. Gufa Amar Rava. Rava said another pshat that Ravashi used. Yisrael Amar Ochel Nevel Sotel. Let's go back to the thing we mentioned yesterday. Ravashi said that what does a kol shech include? Even a mummer who eats Nevel Sotel. We talked about a mummer, an apostate, a non-observant Jew. He eats treif. There's two kinds of Jews. There's a Jew who eats treif because he doesn't care. There's a lahachis. I don't care if there's... Even if I have kosher meat, I can eat treif. It's the same thing.
Like
there's
Rabbanu.
No, huh?
Like Rabbanu.
So, mummer ochel Yisrael, that's one kind. That's lahachis. L'teyavon is like this. I'm a good Jew. I'll eat the kosher if I have a choice. But if I don't have a choice, I got nothing to eat, you know? Mama? Yeah, I'll eat what there is. That's mummer ochel Yisrael teyavon. So he says, like, so Rava says, a guy like that, you can let him do shchita for you. Bodek sakin, you give him, you check the sakin. But no, some umutalech mishchitasa. Like my time. Keep him, he gets every surah. Since he has a choice, he can eat something which is mutter or something which is asra. He knows that what's kosher according to the what's not. Lo shavik keter b'chisur. He's not going to eat the isra if he can find the heter. Bihachidek markilo barakman nami. So why do you have to check the knife for him? If he has a choice, he's going to eat kosher treif. So let him just say, go do the shchita. Go bring a knife and do it properly. He's going to do it right. Therefore, he's not going to go. He's got the knife in front of him. He says, "What's my machbat li? Why should he trade if I can cut a kosher leaf? If I have to do too much work, I'm not going to." Don't forget, you could also say that. When you could always say, if he's going to do tircha, why should he ever eat trade? If he could travel 10,000 miles and get a piece of kosher, he's not going to bother. He's not going to bother. Everything else being equal, he'll eat the kosher food. Many Jews are like that. There's many Jews in America who will, you know, given a choice, they'll eat the kosher food. But I'm not going to go walk down a block to another restaurant when I got a nice restaurant right here, right? Everything else being equal, they'll eat it.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing wrong with getting paid to chef.
No, but a mumer,
yeah.
He's doing it because of the money then. He's not doing it because he doesn't care.
No,
Because he says, I may as well chef kosher, or whatever.
He's getting paid in either case. The question is he a mumer?
No, but if you start shochet's paying
the shochet's getting paid in any case. Shochet's getting paid. A shochet is a job which you're entitled to get paid for. It's a legitimate job. You can get paid for it. Now the question is he going to shech treifa make some treif when he can eat it kosher? So he's not going to bother. I'm a little bit of a For example, like a rav is not supposed to take money. Right? You're not supposed for teaching Torah. You're not supposed to take money, right? And the yeshiva, I'm just mentioning because those who didn't see it, Rav Chaim Stein, the Rosh Yeshiva from Tells, was nifter yesterday. Baruch Dynamis. I learned by him. Great man. Anyway, so rabbanim aren't supposed to take money to teach Torah. However, to be a chazan, you're allowed to take money. Not only allowed to, it's encouraged. And Farshim say because it's a service. The kohanim also got paid. Kohanim got paid. They got shares in the animals, the trumas, whatever. They got paid. They paid, right? You should pay the chas. No. Some say that you should pay the daf. You should, because to show that it's a service, you should get paid. It's a paying job.
Huh? I'd be rubbing salt on the wounds.
Sometimes it wouldn't be so bad. Sometimes it would weed out the ones who wouldn't get paid. In other words, there's a spur to it. that when you pay somebody, he's got to do a good job, and also people are going to demand they're not going to put up this with anybody. There were many shuls, and there still are shuls, where there's a regular chazan who gets paid, and you know, the bar mitzvah boy can't just go up and take the omid. He gets paid, and that's it. There's no such thing as yard sites. And he's like, yard site, give him an aliyah, say kaddish. You know, there's not a chiyuv that he has to daven. And many times it's for good reason, because if you allow anybody to go up there, that's what happens. Anybody goes up there. Yeah. Exactly. Nobody else davened. And there was the quorum, and people knew what they were, you know, you knew what you were paying for, at least, so to speak. You know, you knew what you were getting. Not where anybody just goes up. So there's a spar for it. No, but the point is that the guy was paid also, probably. He was paid. It was his job. It was part of the job. So certain things you should get paid for, certain things not. Anyway, back to us. Last line. Okay, you say that a mumer, a person who eats, he'll eat treif, he'll eat nevela, but it's only because he's hungry, meaning when there's no other choice, he could shech for you. I'm going to bring a proof to you. He said, I'm going to prove from a brisa. Chamsin shalavayrach or Pesach. Let's say a person, he doesn't, you know, Pesach people are makra, they don't eat chametz. Even Jews who aren't that careful won't eat chametz. But they're not necessarily going to sell their chametz, right? They don't believe in it, whatever, they're going to try to cheat. So chametz of the Aveira, people don't sell their chametz. Achra Pesach mutter miyad, you can eat his chametz right away. You can eat his chametz even not waiting for him to cook it, you know, to bake it. Why? Nation mechlifim, because what they do is like this. They switch their chametz with that of a goy. A goy is allowed, you're allowed to eat a goy's chametz. So he says he knows he's not going to eat chametz on Pesach, but he doesn't want to throw it out. What he'll do is he trades with the goy. So, why should he be over himself? So he takes his chametz and he trades with the goy. You're allowed to eat that chametz. Why? Because you can assume that that chametz belonged to the goy on Pesach. Safru, how many Rabbi goes Rabbi Yehuda over chametz achar Pesach to Raisa? So what do you do? But are you really allowed to eat? Are you really allowed to? Is he allowed to eat that chametz? No, because when he traded it, you're not to have enough from the chametz on Pesach, right? So when he traded it for the goy's chametz, he exchanged with him, right? He's not allowed to eat the goy's chametz either. He's not allowed to, but you're allowed to, because he had enough from the chametz. The bad Jew had enough from the chametz, but that Isser and Hanah doesn't get transferred onto the chametz itself that he gives it to you. It's not like Rashi says, like the case of Shvius or Kachim, where the Isser Hanah gets transferred to the item itself, or Avodah Zarah, right? Things like that, where it gets transferred, like Avos Kachavim, Hegdish, and Shvius, will get transferred. So for you, you're allowed to. In other words, if you go to that Jew's house, and you know he's not so mocked, he won't eat chametz on Pesach, but he keeps his chametz. You can eat it right after Pesach. Why? Because that's not the same chametz that was over Pesach. He changed it with a goy. Now, so what do you see over here? It's that the idea that if he could eat kosher or not eat kosher, why should he eat the kosher? He has to exchange it with the goy. He says, you know, John or Jim, whatever, the goy, I'll exchange with you, no problem. Because they change it, right? So we assume that chametz achar pesach is a doraisa, just like eating the vela is a doraisa. He doesn't shef it, right? And you assume that neishim machlifin alma lo shavik hetayr. He's not gonna. This bad Jew is not gonna leave hetayr. He'll rather eat that of the goy v'achli sura. So the same thing. That same thing to the case here that you're allowed to take a mumer she ochen the veils l'teilven and eat his shechita versus mimai. Like we hold. We hold chametz achar pesach is not a doraisa. It's only drabanan. The rabbi said you shouldn't, they asked you to eating it after Pesach, so you shouldn't keep it over Pesach, right? And so where you're mekel and say, well, you know, he exchanged it with a guy by a drabanan. The doraisa lo mekelina, but maybe by a doraisa, like what? Like nevela, you're not mekel. And therefore, it's not because you can assume that a mumer achon avel satera, you can eat a shechita because he's not going to eat treif when he can eat kosher. Maybe the reason over there why you're mekel is because it's only drabanan. So it's more just the opposite. But tavin amar Rav Shimon, even if it is Rav Shimon, miktani shani omer, it does he say over there, because I can assume maybe chlifu shani omer, maybe he exchanged it. Therefore, it's only drabanai, so maybe he exchanged it. Neishim achlifu miktani. It says the reason you're allowed to eat that over avera is chametz after Pesach is because you can rest assured he always switches it. The vanim achlifin. So ma'ab rabbanan, ma'arach when it's only a rabbanan, lo shavik etayr v'achli yisur, ma'arach when the yisur is only a rabbanan, what's the rabbanan? Chametz of a Pesach, still the avaryan will not be over in a rabbanan, he'd rather he'll switch with Clyde, he'll switch with the goy, right? He'll switch with the goy, and not eat Isser, even though this is only Rabbanan, Bidaraisa, where there's a Daraisa, Shechem Levei, Lokoshken, certainly he's not going to eat treif when he can eat kosher, Lokoshken. So therefore, Lechor, this Braisa is a proof to Rava that a guy, a mummer, an apostate Jew, a Jew, a non-observant Jew, who would eat treif, you know, if there's no kosher food, he'll eat treif when he's hungry. However, when given the choice, he'll eat kosher. You're allowed to give him a chalif and tell him to shech for you because there's no reason why he would eat treif when he could eat kosher. Okay, so that's a proof from the Brais, right? Like, yeah, that's the kind of shochtim we have today, right? That's what Rava says. Okay. Now, let's bring another proof to this. Hakol shochtim. Now, this is not our mission. This is a Brais in the Tosefta. It says, Enrei k'shecht afilu kuti, like you saw one of the opinions in the Mishnah, right? We said that was actually two of the opinions, Abai and Rava were both, but it's really Abai's opinion we're going with that even a kuti, Hakol shecht afilu kuti, if you're standing there, whatever. Hakol shecht afilu kuti, afilu oral, even an uncircumcised person, afilu Yisrael mumer.
By the way, that would almost mean to me that somebody's not Shomer Shabbos. Mm-hmm. But keeps going, you know, there are people around, keep going.
Yeah.
In their house.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is...
The problem with extrapolating and saying you could eat in your house is that we're saying everything else being equal, you could do it, right? Everything else being equal, he's going to eat kosher. And in real life, let's say kosher is minimally kosher, right? Let's say you're just mindful. The problem is, what's everything else being equal? You understand? The guy today, they'll always argue, you eat kosher or not kosher? Yes, but they don't have five-star restaurants like the non-kosher ones. I'm looking for five-star restaurants. I'm looking for classy, you know, right. Food. So you could always argue that a mumer achol nevelos a teyavon, he'll say, I can't find. As we're saying, everything else being equal, the animal's in front of him, right? He could check it. He can make it kosher or not kosher. Why shouldn't he make it kosher? That's what we're saying, everything else being equal in the case of the shochet. But in the real life case of a Jew who eats kosher, let's say at home, or most times will eat kosher, but he's not so machmed. There's millions of Jews like that, right? So you can't eat in his home because you don't know, because he might say, oh, yeah, I couldn't get the kosher brand of whatever the ingredients is there. You know, and it's not everything else is equal. So lemaisa, you can't eat in his house. If you ask a rabbi, he'll say, he's not Shomer Shabbos, he's not machmed, he will eat at a treif restaurant because the treif restaurant is five stars and the Jewish one is only a half a star, whatever, you know. So he says, I'm not going to eat that food. You know, it's not everything else is equal. That's the problem. In real life, not everything else is always equal. Anyway, so like Messiah, I call Shach Mafil Kuti Mafil Orel Mafil Yisrael. Bryce says that anybody could shech even a kuti, even an orel, an uncircumcised person, a fi Yisrael, or even an apostate Jew. Hi, orel hechadim. What's the case of orel? If it's a family of hemophiliacs, you know, where two brothers died after the bris milah, so he's not allowed to do bris milah now because it's life threatening. Hi Yisrael Mali, he's a good Jew, so what do you mean? Of course he could be a shochet. You could have a shochet who, this is not like, you know, carbon pesach, you have to be an aro, or a kohen, you know, you can't eat, an aro can't do this. What are you talking about? He's a good Jew, he could shech. We're talking about where he's a mumlis. He doesn't want to do a bris. He's against a bris. Still, what do you see? Even though he's a mumlis, he doesn't want a bris. He's against doing a bris. Still, you see, he could be shochet. So why? Because a mumlis of born thing is not a mumlis of something else. That's the same idea here. He's a mumlis. He eats nevelis when he can't find anything else kosher to eat. But everything else being equal, he would shecht over here. That's the pshat nakol shoch. Name a seifa vafu yisrael mumlis. So what does he mean by Yisrael Mumer? If that's what we mean by an oro, that a person is a mumbler, so what does he mean by Yisrael Mumer? Hi, Mumer Echadami. He mumbler ledavar acher. He's a mumbler for something else, like for circumcision, and he's not a mumbler for shkita. Hi, and a mumbler areos. That's exactly what you just said. He's a mumbler for one thing. He's not a mumbler for shkita. Elalav, mumbler leosadavar. Elamai must be that he's a mumbler for that same thing, meaning for the food itself, meaning he'll eat treif. But what? He'll eat treif when there's no kosher. Or he can't easily get the kosher. But where everything else being equal, he'll eat the kosher. Could Rava? It's a proof to what Rava says. That not that he's a mummer for something else. Here he's a mummer for eating treif himself and eating the vela right now. If there's nothing else, or he can't get it this quality. However, everything else being equal, he would shech, and you can rely on a shkita. This is low. Maybe I'll tell you no. The truth is that if he eats treif, you can't rely on a shkita at all. My time in Kiva, the Doshbe, once he steps on it, he stomps on it. Kera Tedam. And as once he's used to eating the veil already, he's not going to be mocked. But like the Lamaisa today, you say, okay, he eats kosher at home, he doesn't eat kosher in the restaurant. Once you have those rules, when everything starts getting real fuzzy, the rules are fuzzy, oh, he'll eat at a friend, I need a friend, everything starts falling apart. And therefore, if he's a mumer lochel neveils, even l'teyavon, you can't rely on a shita. And there's no proof from there to Rava. Rava says that a mumer eats neveils l'teyavon, you can trust his shita, right? You can give him, if you give him a shchalif and everything else, and you make sure he can, you can trust his shita. But it's no proof from over here from this brisa. Why? Elo, so what's the mumer then? If you say that an oral means a mumer la'areilus, because otherwise, if he's an oral because he's a hemophilic, he's a tzaddik. There's nothing wrong with that. It means mumer la'areilus. So what's this other mumer we mean? Elo mumer la'areilus kachav. Gaos kachav is so serious that if a person who's mumer la'areilus kachav is like he's kofar kolatara kula. Elo mumer la'areilus kachav. Ukur ravanan dam ravanan amar Shmuel Yisrael mumer la'areilus kachav. Even though he's a mumer, he worships avodah zara. Mutzal lechem shchita. So he's allowed to shchita. Why? Because mumer l'davar echad is not a mumer for another thing. In other words, l'olam, I'll tell you, if he's a mumer within the same thing, he eats nezelus, he's not makbid on kosher food, he can't shech for you. Not like Rava. He can't shech for you. What the Bryce is saying is, if he's a mumer for one thing, it's okay. If he doesn't do circumcision, it doesn't mean he doesn't do shechita properly. If he keeps avodah zarah, okay, he has a type of avodah zarah. It doesn't disqualify him from doing shechita. That's Rabbanan shechita, but it's not a proof to Rava. Gufa, Amar Rabbanan Amar Shmuel, Yisrael Mumer Avos Kachavim, a Yisrael who is suspected of Avos Kachavim, Mutal Eshchav Yichlad Yishchita. Why is he considered a shafet? Yifam Yishchav Yud Melchi Yishchav was a tzaddik. Shenena Misuras Achav. He ate Achav. Achav was a Rosh. Achav, the king of Israel. There were two kings. There were king of Achav, king of Yehuda, of Israel and Yehuda. Achav was a Rosh, influenced by his wife Jezebel. Right. So I'm going to show Shenena Misuras Achav. Shenema Vayizbach Lo Achav Tzonum Vakor Lo Rov. Yeah, Achav shechted for him. You know, sheep and cattle, etc. Much ulama shenimron for the people with him. By Isitei El Ramskil, and he persuaded Yosef to go to Ramskil. Even though Yosef was a tzaddik, he persuaded him. So you see there that he ate, that Yosef ate of Achav Shchita, right? He ate of Achav, even though Achav was a Rosh, he was a Oro Zara. Who says maybe he shechted from, maybe he didn't eat it. Maybe Yosef said, I'll have the fish. You know, maybe he didn't eat over there, right? So Vice takes it. Says he persuaded him. Maybe persuaded him through argument. Nobody gets persuaded by argument. The way you convince the guy to make the purchase is over lunch. That's how you persuade people, by giving him a meal, not by talking, right? Your brother convinces you to vote zar. That's talking about chilul shtiyah. You invite him over. You say, look, it's not so bad. Bow down to the yozel. Rav Rashi says, you can persuade me, levalochinim, to destroy him, like to swallow him up for nothing. He says, lamalashan, sit by Rav Rashi, you can't eat with him, you know. But by people, it's with him. Maybe he only drank, he didn't eat. Oh, maybe he only drank the wine, he didn't eat the meat. Says my sheshniya, why is it permissible drink? I mean, a mumer levis kachav loven mumer chalatar kula. Even though he's a mumer for avodah zarah achav, he's not a mumer for yayin esach, right? So achilan ami mumer levis kachav, he was a mumer loven mumer chalatar kula. He's not a mumer for shchita. So hachiyash, I can kvi a shtiya stam yeinu. Shtiya, if you didn't see him do the nisach avodah levis zarah, it's stam yeinu. Stam yeinu wasn't usher at that point. V'la'ay dain lo neser. The Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel asked Stam Yenim later on. So Bizman Azeh, we have an Isser, a Drabun of Stam Yenim. By the Nesser Yenim Shel V'Kavim, there, Stam Yenim was an Isser. So how can you compare the two? You could say, if a Mumer Levis Kavim is not a Mumer for Yayin, certainly not for, who says? Yayin wasn't Isser that. Avalachila, Eim L'Chom Mumer Levis Kavim, Ma Mumer L'Chol Tar Kula. So therefore it could be, maybe he just drank, he didn't eat. It's not proper for a king. King doesn't drink without eating. As you know, you don't sit there with the king and give him a little drink. You know, a little schnapps, a little wine. Understand? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to Avadya in a minute. We're going to talk about Avadya. Or tomorrow. If it says he slaughtered and he persuaded him, it's mashba. How did he convince him? B'svicha, it's mashma with the food. So it's mashma clearly from over there that Yoshafat the Tzaddik ate of Achav the Rosh's food. So you see, even though Achav was over the Bazar, you can eat a shechita. V'dilma Ovadya Zavach, Ovadya, who was the Tzaddik over there, he was the Tzaddik, there was one Navi who was a Tzaddik in Achav's house, maybe he did the shechita. This is Larov Tzitz. There was, he checked it, you know, hundreds, thousands of karbanos, right? Ovadya Lavi Sapik, he couldn't do it by himself. There were 7,000 people there who did not worship the Baal, who did not worship the Bodhazar. Maybe it was them who all the ones who didn't bow, all the knees that didn't bow down to the Baal. They were hiding. Those 7,000 people were in hiding from Izebel. They were afraid she was going to kill them. So maybe the people of Achav, maybe Achav was in Russia, but maybe his servants, like Ovadia was there, right? So maybe he had other servants who were also tzaddikim. If the ruler listens to a falsehood, all his servants were also Rishon. So his servants were also bad. So maybe it's like this. Maybe Yoshevet's people also were not good. And therefore, Zvoch Gavri the Achav, Achav Gavri Yoshevet. The people who shechted Achav's people who helped in the shechita, who do they give the food to? The people of Yoshevet who also weren't tzaddikim. Zvoch Ovadya, but Ovadya the tzaddik shechted. That was what Yoshevet. Maybe Yoshevet only ate from Ovadya shechita. Achav Yoshevet Zvoch Sakudaitach. Minimosh Machshavol Davar Sheker Komishas Rasham. Since if the ruler is bad, you assume his people are bad. So Haile Dvar Emes B'Shas Tzadikim. So the person who's at Tzadikah, Yoshevet, his servants are good people. And therefore, what did all those people eat? Maybe what Achav and his people shechted, that's what they ate. And Yoshevet's people, Yoshevet says, okay, fine. I'll eat with you, but I have my whole staff. My staff will chef for us. Maybe that's what Yoshevet ate. He wouldn't have been nice. He wouldn't have said, listen, I'm coming in over here. You eat your food and I'll eat mine. I'll chef me. That wouldn't have been proper. It says it's not a proper thing to do. But no, we'll see this tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. Tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh will start at 5:20, Mitzvah Shem. 5:20, Rosh Chodesh tomorrow. Oh, it's not? So it's only Shabbos and Sunday. Never mind. We'll start at 5:30 tomorrow. Thank you, Kurt. I thought it was tomorrow. Right. We'll start regular time tomorrow, 5:30. We just hold discussion.